I enjoy having breakfast in bed. I like waking up to the smell of bacon. Sue me. And since I don't have a butler, I have to do it myself. So most nights before I go to bed, I will lay 6 strips of bacon out on my George Foreman grill. Then I go to sleep. When I wake up, I plug in the grill. I go back to sleep again. Then I wake up to the smell of crackling bacon. It is delicious. It's good for me. It's a perfect way to start the day. Today I got up, I stepped onto the grill, and I clamped down on my foot. That's it. I don't see what's so hard to believe about that.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
A 10-win season in the NFL, okay? And they could kiss my ass.
NYG Weekly, episode 20. Ethan Weiss here with you once again. You know the drill. We got to do the housekeeping. First, subscribe to us on iTunes. The link will be tweeted out. The link should be in my Twitter description. If you're listening to this, you're probably already subscribed. If not, smash the subscribe button. Rate us 5 stars. Give us a kind review. Say something nice about us. If you're not on iTunes and you're listening to this on Twitter, go ahead and put your email address into the Audio Boom website. That link will also be on Twitter. If you put your email in there, every time a new episode drops, you'll get an email notification. So do that. Make sure you subscribe just so you get that fresh Giants content every week. Last bit of housekeeping, follow me on Twitter at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Weiss, 10-4. We got that improved audio quality on Deckington.
Yes, sir.
It feels good. It feels really good.
This is a 10-win team. They can line up and they can kiss my ass. Right?
That'll be in the intro for those who remember that Tom Coughlin clip. As good as I'm feeling about the win, and I struggled to honestly write that much in the Big Blue Hangover this week because there isn't much left to say about the Giants as a team. They have a Super Bowl caliber defense. They're going to rely on big plays on offense. They're going to rely on Odell. And the most preposterous part of this all is that the only thing really hampering this team, and it's probably a good thing, is their 2-time Super Bowl MVP and his offense.
Yeah. I think what you saw against the Lions is what you're going to get from the Giant offense. You might get more points, but this is what they want to do. You know, they want to control the clock. They want to be balanced. They want to be able to run the ball. And they were able to do that for the most part on Sunday against the good Lions defense. And they're going to rely on the big play from Odell Beckham. You know, the great throw by Eli Manning that got, you know, they got the Giants in position to put the game away. They're going to rely heavily on the defense, you know, to come up with stops. And yet again, you know, time after time, every week we come on here, man, and we anticipate that, you know, okay, this is going to be the week where the defense might let up a little bit and it'll be on the offense. But it's like, you know, these are two high-powered offenses with MVP candidates. Yes, Matthew Stafford was a candidate, even though you don't agree he was.
He was not.
And, and he came in, man, and they listen, I know the finger was hurting a little bit, but, you know, this defense, they continue to prove why it can carry this offense. And as long as this offense continues to get those 2, 3, 4 big plays from Odell Beckham or anyone else, I think they can beat anybody. They can go into anywhere and win. And 10-4, man, this is no fluke. It's no luck. This is a good team. This is a team that's going to be reckoned with in the playoffs. And, you know, let's dance. Let's dance.
I was told that I was foolish to not be afraid of Matthew Stafford and the Lions. With the Giants' 6-1 home record, third best league run defense, second best pass defense. And I was told that this middle of the road, not MVP candidate, was going to come in against the clamp season, which is year round, and he didn't even put up a touchdown. I have no reason to be worried with this Super Bowl caliber defense. I have no reason to be worried because week in and week out, they have proven that they can shut down the best of the NFL's offenses. They shut down the number one ranked offense in the Cowboys. They only gave up one touchdown in the last 2 weeks. Janoris Jenkins is fine. He'll be back. We'll talk about whether or not he should take Thursday off in a little bit because we got questions about it, and we'll talk about the Eagles a little bit before we cue to the EDP interview. This team and this defense have the tools to go far. And We've seen this story before. Got to get that wild card.
It's
go on the road.
It's remarkable. You talked about Janoris Jenkins and what this defense has done. I mean, Janoris Jenkins left that game in the second quarter, and they didn't lose a beat.
You
talk about a guy like DRC. He gets beat on a deep pass, runs down Golden Tate, makes an amazing play, amazing hustle play, and on the very next, two plays later, a fumble, and the Giants get the ball back. So just plays like that, man. It's not you know, you're going to give up plays. This is the NFL. You know, you're going to give up a chunk of yards. You're going to give up big plays. You're going to, you know, miss tackles. But it's how you recover by that. It's how you respond by that. And it seems like every time they give up a big play, they turn around and they make another big play on defense. I mean, if you remember the Baltimore game, Janoris gets beat deep by Mike Wallace, is able to recover, make the tackle, and they're able to get a goal line stand on that drive. I mean, these are the type of plays that change seasons, that raise confidence levels, that propel teams to be, you know, to get to that next stage. And I think throughout the season, we've just seen it time and time again with this defense. And it's remarkable, man, that what they've been doing. And they lost JPP, you know, 2 weeks ago against Pittsburgh, and they have not lost a beat. I mean, they've come together more, and they've all kind of energized each other. Everyone has kind of lifted themselves through this, and
Amazing. I mean, listen, you said it yourself. Janoris Jenkins goes out. They don't miss a beat. JPP goes out 2 weeks ago. Romeo Okwara steps up and shows that he can be the real deal. This is a team that, you know, at positions we didn't really think they may have depth, they have depth. Apple stepping up, played every single defensive snap on Sunday. Made an amazing, probably game-changing defensive play when he got beat by Golden Tate and recovered enough to make a good defended pass. That was unbelievable.
Yeah, those are when you see a rookie be able to do that, it like lifts the confidence level of everyone else on defense.
100%.
When you see guys hustling like that and recovering and making plays, I mean, those raise confidence levels. I mean, you know that even though I might get beat, even though I might give up a play, I know I can make another. I can make another play and respond. So I say again, man, it's remarkable what we're seeing. I mean, this is a Super Bowl caliber defense. I think this secondary is as good as anyone else in the league. If you want to debate, go back and forth about if they're the best or not, I mean, we can do that. But, I mean, this defense is playing like the best defense in the NFL. And to hold the Lions and the Cowboys to 13 points combined in back-to-back weeks, I mean, it's truly, truly remarkable. It is amazing. I mean, just let's look last Sunday night. Everyone was talking about this Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense, hottest defense in the NFL. Shut down Russell Wilson, you know, they played so well as the hottest team in the league, and Dallas just, you know, ran up the field with him. And then, you know, 1 week earlier, you see what the Giants did to him. So it's this defense, to me, it's you know, every week we say, okay, this might be the week, or this might be the week, or this defense is hotter, or this defense is better, but they just continue to prove people wrong, man.
There's not much more we can say about it.
Every week we come on, man. We hopper the same thing over and over again. But it's business as usual, man. We come on, we talk about the same thing, and every week they just do it again.
Do you see the post game 5-minute FaceTime with Victor Cruz, Sterling Shepard, Odell, and Deion?
That was amazing. That's team chemistry, right?
That's amazing. And that's the thing. And we saw it from preseason all the way up until this point. This team, not just among their own position groups, but amongst each other, have this sort of chemistry and camaraderie that I feel like I haven't seen in a Giants team in a very long time, and certainly that I'm not really seeing amongst other teams in the NFL. But they have fun, they like each other, they can goof around and get serious all at the same time. I mean, you listen to Odell talk, and everyone calls him a crybaby diva. Especially, I mean, by the way, can we talk about the Ezekiel Elliott Salvation Army bullshit for a minute, because Odell is 100% right.
Everyone knows Odell's right.
And everyone is going after Odell and saying he's a crybaby. Meanwhile, the entire Steeler organization is seemingly tweeting that, you know, Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown would get fined for the same thing.
Bell agreed with him.
Le'Veon Bell quoted his tweet and agreed with him. So, total bullshit. But to have someone like Odell on the FaceTime say that, you know, they had a good game and he had a touchdown, but he was most disappointed with the fact that he couldn't hold the block on Sterling Shepard's catch for 2 more yards because Sterling Shepard would have scored, that is the kind of determination I love to see out of my players.
Yeah, can I say one thing about the whole Kettle Salvation Army thing?
Yeah, go for it.
In the divisional round or in the NFC Championship game, Odell Beckham is going to score a touchdown in that stadium, and he's going to jump into that red kettle thing. And when he does, the internet's going to go crazy.
I kind of hope he gets fined for it just to prove the double standard.
he might get fined for it. He's going to jump into that thing. I promise you. Listen, man, he's going to do it. I can totally see him doing it.
Yeah, no, 100%. All right. Let's look ahead to the Eagles before we jump into the EDP interview, because I feel like it wasn't so much analysis as it was just having fun with one of the funnier guys on Twitter.
Yes.
Listen, you brought it up during the interview. The Giants haven't won away in prime time at Philadelphia since 2008. Still, I look at this team, and I look at the Eagles. I see a rookie quarterback who has some of the worst mechanics I've ever seen, who has no supporting cast. His wide receivers are garbage. I'd say his best offensive weapon is Zach Ertz. I don't care if you have Zeke Elliott or Ryan Matthews. You're not running on this defense. And the Eagles have no secondary. So, to me, the only thing that fans should maybe be worried about are the Eagles' pass rushers. But I see no other area where the Eagles could have even a slight advantage, other than maybe their edge rushers going up against Flowers and Hart. That's it. And that's pretty much a given on most Sundays. So I don't want to say irrationally confident. Maybe I'll concede that my Lions' confidence was slightly irrational. The Eagles are a far inferior team to the Lions, a far inferior team to the Cowboys. As long as Eli Manning doesn't throw 5 interceptions, this should be a cakewalk for the Giants.
I mean, I don't know. It's tough. I mean, you look at the past Giants going into Philadelphia.
That's the thing. I'm trying not to look at history and, you know, here's
the thing. You brought up last time they won in primetime. Last time they won in primetime in Philadelphia was 2008.
Right.
Last time they won in Philadelphia was 2011.
Sure.
Week 3 game, but that was a day game. But here's the thing. I think the Giants will win this game. I think they will. I think they are the better team. They have so much at stake for them, and they're playing so well right now as a team. I think they will win. But when it comes to Philadelphia, there's just this – that's why I was so happy when the Redskins lost yesterday, because it really, really, really made it much more easier for the Giants to be able to clinch a playoff spot if they were to lose this game against the Eagles. Is because it's just like we've seen them go to Philly, and we have so much confidence, and we're gonna beat Philly in Philly, and we turn around and we don't win, and we don't do this. But I think that as for a rookie quarterback like Carson Wentz, who now that the Eagles are eliminated, he's got nothing to play for. Those coaching just have nothing to play for.
Yeah.
So now it's just all about developing this guy, taking more risks, allowing him to showcase his talent. And yes, he's limited with the people that he has around him, but I think his offensive line is going to be healthy. Because remember, early in the season, he was playing well because he had a healthy offensive line with Lane Johnson. Now Lane Johnson is back. I mean, we don't know how he's going to play, in his first game back, he hasn't played since, you know, what, October or something like that. So having a healthy offensive line, they're going to get back Darren Sproles. I know they can't run on the Giants, but you know, he did throw for over 300 yards against the Giants back in MetLife Stadium early in the year. And I know You know, Case Keenum made the Giants defense play much better than when they were at that time. But, you know, I just think it's not as easy as people are making it out to be. It'll be a competitive game. As Ben McAdoo said, and I like this quote, you can throw records out the window in this one. I mean, this is a dangerous game for the Giants. It's a game that they could lose. I don't think they will. But I'm not as confident as you are going into this game. And I could be wrong. I wasn't as confident as you in the Lions game. But a lot of bad shit has happened to the Giants when we've gone to Philadelphia in recent years. From a Victor Cruz injury to losing 27-7 to Sam Bradford to just looking like complete garbage every time on primetime that we've gone into them when we faced Michael Vick that couple of years. Even when we played him in primetime in MetLife. Do you remember when Vince Young came in there and won that game? So it's like, you know, nothing will please me more than to go in there and to win this game and clinch a playoff spot and just be able to watch post-game and see, you know, the whichever players they invite to the podium or the NFL Network desk and just talk about the playoffs and get ready for the playoffs and just clinch a playoff spot. Nothing will love me more than to be able to do that.
Sure.
But I'm just not as confident as you are.
That's it. Yeah, listen, the confidence level, I don't know. It even worries me a little bit because I'm very hot and cold with my teams. As you know, I'm either absolutely in love with everything they're doing or I'm just the most negative person in the world. And currently, I am the former with the Giants and the latter with the Islanders, where the Islanders can literally do nothing correct at the moment and the Giants are just the perfect team.
Every plug they pulled is the right one.
Everything. One thing that's going to be emotional even for me as a fan is watching Victor Cruz, who said the first thing he's doing when he gets out there for warm-ups is going to the spot in the end zone that he tore his patellar tendon. Yep. Because I remember exactly where I was when that happened in college, watch him tore the patellar tendon. What was the final score of that game? 27-0?
Yep.
Watching with my dickhead Eagles fan friend who was making fun of me the whole game, and then Cruz goes down, and I just couldn't move. I was just on the couch, emotionless, while also devastated at the same time. Kind of an odd way to describe it, but bear with me. That's going to be just a moment that I am already excited to GIF. If that makes any sense and sounds lame, I'm sorry. I want to GIF it, and I hope that Victor Cruz can salsa on these motherfuckers right in the end zone in their face and clinch a playoff spot for the Giants. Let's talk Paul Perkins, because I feel like this talk has heated up more than usual this week. Listen, when they drafted him, there were some people, shout out Larry Soprano once again, friend of the program, who was very high.
He's going to officially owe me a drink on
and
on,
me too.
Thursday night.
You bet. Yeah.
Yes.
Who was very high on Paul Perkins the minute the Giants drafted him. I was more pumped the brakes. Let's just see what this kid's got. He's a fifth-round pick. I know you can find running back value late, but I need to see it first. Right. I have seen enough. He can pass protect. This rumor and this narrative that he can't pass protect is total nonsense. He can pass protect. He is also way more efficient with the ball than Rashad Jennings. He can make opponents miss. He's faster. He had 11 for 56 over 5 yards per carry on Sunday. It is time. I know they got an even split in snaps, but he got 7 fewer carries than Rashad Jennings, who's 18 for 28, was abysmal. It's time. Unleash Paul Perkins. We're at the point in the season that where rookies are not rookies anymore. They have seen enough meaningful snaps and need to live up to the fact that the Giants drafted them to make a difference, especially at the running back position. If you're a running back that gets drafted, honestly, at all in today's NFL, there's a very good chance you're expected to make a big difference your rookie season. Look at Jordan Howard, fifth round pick, making a big impact. Paul Perkins can make the same impact, and at the very least, he can make a bigger impact than Rashad Jennings. He needs a majority of the snaps.
And not just you said Jordan Howard. Even if you look in previous years, Alfred Morris, yeah, 7th round pick, rookie season, yep, versus for 1,000 yards. I'm with you, man. Listen, Park. Ever since I saw that clip of Rashad Jennings,
where he missed that hole.
Yeah,
I think everyone knows what you're talking about. And if you don't,
you know the play.
Ronan tweeted it out.
Yes.
Yeah. So going back through Ronan's timeline, you'll see Rashad Jennings missing an egregiously large hole.
Everyone has seen it. Yeah. They've all seen it. It was, I said, I was getting ready to go to sleep. I saw the clip. I couldn't go to sleep after that. Because, I mean, it's everything that I harp on with this offense, man. Like, everyone wants to get on the offensive line. Yeah, I know the offensive line has issues. But, man, it's execution with this offense, man. That's a 10-yard run.
Yeah.
That's 10 yards right there. I've seen enough with Rashad Jennings. Look, I like the guy. I understand why he got some of those carries late. I don't think they fully trust Paul Perkins because he might fumble. You know, he's still a rookie. So I understand those late carries. But he had, what, he had 15 carries, 51 yards? Was it something like that? Perkins.
11 carries for 56.
11 for 56. That's 5 yards a carry.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You got to give him more carries. I think you're going to see it increase now. I mean, they can't be blind at this. I know Rashad is a good teammate. He's a good guy. I'm not saying he deserves no stamps.
And do not get me wrong. There is a role for Rashad Jennings on this team.
Of course. Of course.
But it is not as the majority snap running back.
Or even half and half anymore.
Not even half and half.
No, it's got to be Perkins now. He's got to be on the field. He's a playmaker, man. He's
playmaker.
He's future Hendricks, man. He looks just like him. you gotta go with Perkins. I think I said a couple weeks ago, I think Giants are looking for a spark, man. Perkins might be it.
Absolutely.
And one of the strengths, if you look at the offensive line collectively, their strengths are run blocking.
Yeah.
Collectively, they do that better than pass protection. So they can do a good job of opening up holes. And that cutback, man, whew.
That was beautiful.
Makes your eyes pop, man, when you see some do stuff like that.
Thing of beauty.
I'm with you, man. Perkins deserves more carries. I think, hopefully, we kind of say this every week, but hopefully we see him with a much larger role Thursday against the Eagles.
Agree. Speaking of Perkins, rookies, big impact against the Lions. I want to point out, and it's crazy, you know, because you think of, like, the rookies that have been making consistent impacts all season, you kind of forget about them because you kind of start thinking of them as just, like, normal pieces of the team and focus on the rookies that are just starting to get into the game. So, you know, Paul Perkins, 5 yards per carry, started making a bigger impact. Romeo Okwara, been playing really well on the edge. B.J. Goodson got in the game, got some good snaps. Listen, I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it. Because I'm a man of bold proclamations. BJ Goodson will be a podcast guest in the offseason. I promise. I'm going to do my best to get BJ Goodson on this podcast. All right? I think that would be really cool. So, BJ Goodson. Then you have Eli Apple making a game-saving pass defense on Golden Tate. You got Sterling Shepard, who had the first touchdown of the game. So that's five just right there making game-changing plays for the
Andrew
Giants.
Adams. Don't forget about Andrew Adams.
Andrew Adams, naturally. But, again, he's a guy. Been doing it all season since Darian Thompson got out. Andrew Adams. Jarrell Adams, if we're bringing up the Adamses. Jarrell Adams had a couple catches for, I think, 18 yards, making an impact.
And not just that. Let's look at second-year guys. Landon Collins.
You know? Bobby Hart.
Will Tye. You know, this is a fairly young core that they're building.
They're very young.
Very, unbelievably young. It's really remarkable what they're doing. It's the second-year guys that are stepping in and playing so much better. We said Bobby Hart, Will Tye. You know, this youth movement has really, really, really taken its course, and it's really paying off for this team.
There's just some people I wish would get more involved.
I wanted to mention his name, but I didn't.
Who? Oh, I know. Yeah, don't even say it. We're not going there yet. All right. Looking ahead to the Eagles, I think that's where we're going now. You know, I mean, we already talked about it. I mean, do you see any key matchups? Because I really, for me, the only key matchups I see are in the trenches. And by in the trenches, I mean our offensive line versus their defensive line. Other than that, I think the Giants have an advantage in every single area.
One thing I'm a little worried about, Lane Johnson's back. I think people seem to forget he is still one of the best tackles.
Oh, he's very good.
Yeah, so him going against, you know, probably Aquara or Kerry Wynn or Ola, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with that. And also Zach Ertz.
Yep.
Hurt us last time. That's going to be important.
He's one of the better pass-catching tight ends in the league, I think, that goes under the radar a lot. It's just still an area that the Giants, talk to me 20 years from now, they still won't be able to figure out how to cover a tight end.
They've done well the last 2 weeks against Jason Wynn, against Ebron.
Yep.
So it's going to be important. I mean, they still got to do more to show us that. But the tight ends, man, they can't let them beat them. But this defense is playing at a really high level. So I think they're really motivated. They want to clinch this spot. So I don't really see, like you said, defensive line containing their defensive line against ours. But I think the Giants are going to commit to the run again. I think people are going to get pissed off. But they're going
to
ask.
Listen, if they commit to the run and commit to Paul Perkins, I'll be fine with that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I think Rashad Jennings will also get some carries.
Oh,
too.
Yeah, always will. NYG Weekly, episode 20. Ethan Weiss here with you. We now welcome into the show EDP445. You can follow him on Twitter at EatThatPastrami. EDP, what's going on, man?
My nigga fucking up these chili fries. Nigga's my cheat day, bitch.
I love it. Well, when I first messaged you on Skype, you barely made it to the toilet. So I hope that all went according to plan.
Oh, dude, I was taking a mean shit. Dude, I barely made that motherfucking brownie.
All right. Let's start first. Overall, Eagles season. Not going well. Started off 3-0, 5-9, out of the playoffs. And I just want your overall thoughts on the organization. Howie Roseman, Jeffrey Lurie, Doug Peterson. Go.
Man, let me tell you something, bro. This organization is fucked. You know what I mean? It's shot to shit. It's fucked. It's been fucked. You know what I mean? And there ain't a goddamn thing that we can do about it. You feel me, nigga? But sit back, go to the games, you know what I mean? Have dick shoved in our fucking mouth and just take all that motherfucking cum that's being exploding down our fucking esophagus, you feel me? Because there ain't a goddamn thing that we can do about it. You know what I mean? You got motherfucking Doug Peterson, who's a fucking disgrace. This motherfucker sucks, dude. Like, the nigga single-handedly threw away the fucking Cowboys game.
Fair enough. Feelings on Carson Wentz so far, rookie season. 6'7", wasn't supposed to start right away. Traded away Bradford, which I think you guys got great value for, by the way. First round pick. Can't argue with that. But in terms of overall rookie season thoughts, give me your thoughts on Carson Wentz.
I think Carson Wentz is having a good rookie season. I think the guy's going to be a fucking monster. I think that his mechanics are fucked.
They're very
fucked.
You know
what I mean?
They are fucked like, beyond belief.
It's shocked the fucking shit, dude. Like, I mean, it's something that, of course, can be worked on, but God fucking damn, dude. Like, I was watching last week versus the fucking...
Ravens.
Yeah, versus the Ravens and shit, and the guy just said, fuck it, here. Picked off. I'm like, what the fuck is that shit? What?
He honestly has like probably the grossest throwing motion of any quarterback in the NFL right now.
Hey, but I love me some Carson Wentz. I think he's going to be a great quarterback. And I told EDP before he got on the air, I think he's being a little rough on his Eagles. I know, you know, he wants that Super Bowl and all that, but I'm telling you, the goal for this season was to clean up the Chip Kelly mess and get yourself a quarterback. You got yourself a quarterback. And Carson Wentz is going to be a stud. Don't let people tell you otherwise. I think he's going to be a really good quarterback. Doug Peterson, I mean, I don't know about that. He was like their fourth or fifth choice. But listen, man, the Eagles got their quarterback. Now they got to build around him, and, you know, hopefully they can do that. And, you know, I don't want to wish well on the Eagles, but, you know, I think they're heading in the right direction.
First of all, nigga, when it come down to winning the Super Bowl, motherfucker, I don't even want one no more, nigga. I'm done. Shit. I don't fucking want no goddamn. I'm so fucking sick and tired, nigga, of fucking getting up every day, putting on the eye black and shit. Fucking, man, fuck. Nigga, I don't even want no goddamn title, nigga, no more. Nigga, you keep on just wanting this shit year after year after year after year, nigga, and just fucking just 5-11, 10-6, 0-2. It's like, I don't want that fucking shit, man. Fuck that shit, dude.
Well, I gotta ask you. Obviously, Cowboys and Giants, amazing this year. How confident are you in the Eagles? Give me like a percentage, because quite frankly, my confidence level for the Giants this coming Thursday is hovering around 95%.
What? On a scale of they'll win or lose?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give me a percentage. How confident are you?
Zero, motherfucker.
Oh, come on, yo, EDP. Come on, man. See, I'm being an Eagles apologist right now. When was the last time the Giants won a game in prime time in Philadelphia? 2008.
Oh, I don't even fucking know that shit.
2008, man. It's been a while, man. A lot of bad things have happened to the Giants in Philadelphia, especially on prime time. It's not going to be a cakewalk. I know Eagles are struggling. I know the Giants are, you know, headed in the right direction. But these division games, man, they're tricky. You just never know.
Let me tell you something, man, okay? Man, I'm not afraid to say this, man. I ain't like most fucking sheep-herding motherfuckers, man. It's all blind and shit.
I mean, that's why I like you. You're the most realist Eagles fan, man. That's why I love you.
I'm telling you right here, right the fuck now, bro. And I ain't even trying to, you know, shine your boots and shit. The Giants are going to fuck our shit up. Like, it ain't even... Thank fucking God I'm starting my new fucking job that fucking day, dude. I ain't even got to watch the fucking shit. You know what I mean? We ain't gonna win that fucking shit. Like, number one, nigga, our secondary is fucked. Our receivers is fucked. O-line is fucked. It's like, nigga, if you ain't got no line, you ain't got shit. Ask Dallas.
But you get to get Lane Johnson back this week. That's gonna help a lot.
Yeah, okay, my son.
All right, well, you did bring up one point. Your receiving core is totally fucked. Jordan Matthews is a 6'3 slot receiver. Outside of that, Aguilar set out because he's a pussy. I don't really know what else to say about the receiving core.
Dorial Green-Beckham?
Yeah, Dorial Green-Beckham. Exactly. Moving forward, I'm talking next year, the next 3 years. What is the plan for the team in terms of management, in terms of
what
building
would you
a
do?
Core around Carson Wentz? What would you do?
What would the GM EDP do?
Let's see. Fire all of our coaches.
I was about to say, yep, that was where I was going to start. Fire everyone.
You know what, though? I'll take that back. I wouldn't fire everyone. I would just get rid of Doug Peterson. I would bring in a coach that knows what the fuck he's doing, that has head coaching experience. You know what I mean? What I would do is that I would sign Deshaun Jackson up in the offseason, and I would draft two wide receivers. You know what I mean? Nigga, you can't just fucking just sign Deshaun Jackson. We have a receiver. It's like, nah, nigga, he ain't that type of motherfucker. You know what I mean? Like, you need some niggas around him, you feel me? And I would try to build up this fucking defense. What I would do in the draft, I would focus all my attention on wide receivers and fucking corners. Because our corners are fucking.
But let me ask you, EDP. You guys, this is a big running back heavy class. You think you can get a nice running back there in their first round too? What about a running back?
Fuck a running back.
All right. Favorite Giant on the roster currently, and least favorite Giant.
So mine. Fuck, man. I don't even know if I got any motherfuckers, man. Fuck.
There's no one you hate, just absolutely despise?
Oh, yeah. I fucking can't stand Victor Cruz, dude. Like,
really?
Seriously, like, I mean, you know, like, I was wishing him well for the whole recovery, man, because that shit fucked him up. That shit was nasty. But, like, I swear, man, every time he catches a touchdown in the end zone, and by the way, dude, like, I'm still trying to figure out, like, and this ain't even talking shit, like, I'm trying to figure out why is he twitching his ass like that when he does the salsa dance, you feel me? Because me personally, like, I don't give a fuck about a fine. Like, if I saw a motherfucker doing that shit in my end zone, bam, I'm late hitting his fucking ass. I don't give a fuck. Throw the flag. I don't give a shit. You feel me?
You hate him more than Odell?
I don't know. I don't hate Odell.
Okay. You didn't know? Listen, if you didn't know, EDP was one of the early guys that said Odell Beckham was going to be a monster.
And that was, one of the questions we had from Mark. Shout out to Mark. So how did you know Odell was going to be a star? And when did you call it? Did you call it before the draft or right after?
Motherfucker, I called that shit 4 months before that bitch. I'm like, no, nigga, real shit. I'm watching that motherfucker. I'm looking like, nigga, we better get Odell Beckham. Odell goes to the Giants. I'm like, yeah, we're fucked.
Well, thankfully you were right. We got another question from Garrett. Do you view the Giants as a Super Bowl contender?
Man, like every time the Giants get to the fucking playoffs, I just automatically crown those motherfuckers as Super Bowl champs.
You kind of have to. You think it's going to be Giants Patriots?
I hope the fucking God it ain't, man. I'm so sick and tired of seeing the fucking Patriots, dude. Like that's not even fucking like exciting to watch. I want that shit to be like, I don't know, man. I want it to be like the Raiders and somebody. I don't fucking know.
I like the Raiders. Raiders would be fun.
Let me ask you a question, EDP. Is Eli Manning a Hall of Fame quarterback?
No.
Come on, man.
No, he's not.
Why not?
Come on, man.
I look at a motherfucker like Eli Manning, right? And the number one quarterback I would compare that motherfucker to would have to be Matt Hasselbeck.
Matt Hasselbeck. Get out of here.
No, I'm dead serious. Like, he don't fucking do shit. Like, the motherfucker, like, okay, like, the bitch sucks dick all fucking season, and then when you get to the fucking playoffs, all of a sudden, the nigga, you hot shit. It's just like, fuck, nigga, I don't even think Lynn Swann's supposed to be in the Hall of Fame. Like that motherfucker sucked dick in the regular season, all of a sudden, nigga, get to the Super Bowl, man, my nigga catch him miraculous ass passes and shit. You know what I mean?
He's definitely more like a Brett Favre.
Let me ask you, EDP, if Carson Wentz has a career Eli Manning has, never misses a game, finishes top 10 career in passing yards, top 10 in touchdowns, gets you 2 Super Bowl wins, would you say Carson Wentz is in the Hall of Fame?
It depends.
Come on, man. I think Eli's going to be in the Hall of Fame. You look at the other quarterbacks that are in there. I think Eli's going to get in for sure.
I think Donovan McNabb's a Hall of Fame quarterback, but he won't get the fuck in.
Oof.
It's a fucking travesty. That nigga won't get it in.
Question.
Go ahead.
Who do you hate more, the Cowboys or the Eagles?
Cowboys or the Giants.
That's what I meant, yeah. Cowboys or the Giants.
Probably Dallas, dude.
All right, good. So we agree on that. I fucking hate Dallas way more than I hate the Eagles.
And for the record, if people think Dak Prescott is better than Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott is not better than Carson Wentz.
Well, shit. I sit back and I look at Dak Prescott, and I'm like, damn, nigga, like, look who the fuck he have.
Exactly.
Yo, I could rush for 5 yards per carry behind that offensive line.
Shit, I can too, motherfucker. I'm slow as shit, nigga. My fucking 40 niggas are fucking 8-9. Shit. If that.
Well, let me ask you, EDP, if there's one player you can take from the Giants and put him on your team outside of Odell Beckham, who would it be? Offense or defense?
Probably Sterling Shepard.
Really? Okay.
If I could take one Eagle and not Carson Wentz, I mean, what you think? Ethan, we're going to take Jason Peters, right? Or Lane Johnson?
Yeah, give me Lane Johnson in a second.
Y'all can have that motherfucker, man. He's too busy fucking shooting steroids and shit in his fucking arm.
Better than Ereck Flowers.
Shit.
Yo, first of all, the Eagles defensive line might have a field day with Bobby Hart and Ereck Flowers, so prepare yourself for that, because that might be one positive you can look forward to.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yes.
Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham. Things are going to be close.
I'll tell you.
Weiss, do you have any more questions?
Man, just thank you for coming on, EDP, man. We appreciate it. We appreciate talking to you. If you guys haven't subscribed to his YouTube channel, do. He's the funniest dude, most realist Eagle fan. And thanks for coming on, man.
EDP, you want to give yourself a final plug. Give us your Twitter, give us your YouTube, anywhere people want to follow you.
Nigga, fuck the Twitter and the plug, motherfucker. Donate my ass $50, nigga, so I can buy me a fucking belt, nigga. My right. Fucking pants won't stay up, shit.
Plug the GoFundMe.
I don't do no GoFundMe shit. Fuck off.
All right. He's EDP. He needs a new belt. He's on YouTube. EDP, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. Stay in touch, and hopefully we'll speak to you soon.
All right, man. Have a good one, man. Good shit, Brody. Jeez. All right.
All right. Take care.
Yup, yup.
Anything else, or should we get to questions?
I want to talk about something with you.
Oh, boy. I don't like how you phrase that.
Earlier today...
Oh, okay. Let's talk about this.
Okay. Earlier today...
Sorry to keep interrupting. Because this is a good segment, because I want to talk about Pro Bowl selections, since we're talking about NFL awards. Do you first.
I'm sitting at work, reading an article... Zeke Elliott's MVP, you know, talking about Dak Prescott's MVP, talking about how important they are, Matt Ryan, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, all well-deserving. Then I thought about something. The Giants are 10-4. They've beaten the Dallas Cowboys twice, the Detroit Lions. They've beaten a lot of good teams, Baltimore, you know, and I think about these games, and I'm like, you know, we won this game. We had a great defense. Defense played well. But then I also remember 2, 3, 4 plays from each game, and I'm like, man, 13 made that play. Man, he's won us so many games this year. Then I started thinking, well, if you have Ezekiel Elliott in the MVP conversation, you have Dak Prescott in the MVP conversation, why are you not putting Odell Beckham in the conversation? I'm not sitting here saying he should win the MVP, but the most valuable player of a team that's 10-4, who's beaten the 11-2 Cowboys, the 12-2 Cowboys twice, has been Odell Beckham. In every game that the Giants have won, he's made that play. I can sit here and give you go down the list. Outside of maybe the game against Chicago, possibly the game against New Orleans, a couple other games, he has made the game-changing play. And he has propelled this team. He deserves to be in the conversation if we're talking most valuable player. If this award is just about giving it to the best quarterback, the best statistical quarterback every year, then just say the MVP is the best quarterback of the year. And then we can talk about just Matt Ryan and Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and Dak Prescott. But MVP, he should be in the discussion. He just should deserve some praise and love. Let me give you a stat. Don't shake your head. The Giants have been 8-1 since week 6.
Absolutely.
Who leads the NFL in receiving during that span?
Odell Beckham.
Odell Beckham Jr. Who leads the NFL in touchdowns during that span?
Odell Beckham.
Odell Beckham Jr. He has been the game changer guy. He has put numerous times, he has put this offense on his back. And don't tell me, well, he's not first in stats. It's not all about stats. He puts this team on his back in critical moments of the game and makes that game-changing play. He's the home run hitter, but for some reason, it's against the law. It's not right to put him in the MVP conversation. Don't give me that, man. Go ahead. Let me see you respond to that.
First of all, if he's obviously not going to win the MVP award, then what? Fine. See, there's no point in putting him in the conversation to begin with if he has no shot in winning the award. If you want to show him some love, fine. Is Odell Beckham Jr. one of the more valuable players in the league? 100%. Is Odell Beckham Jr. the most valuable player on the Giants? 100%. If you look at who has won the award, and this is, listen, I don't make up the names, I don't do the voting. If you look at who has won the award for the last 15 years, it has either been a quarterback of a team that put up a ridiculous record, a la Cam Newton 15-1, Aaron Rodgers 15-1, Peyton Manning 14-2, Adrian Peterson in 2012 had over 2,000 yards and had 6 yards per carry. led all running backs. You can go as far back as 06 and 05 for LaDainian Tomlinson and Sean Alexander, who came very close to 2,000 yards, but who undoubtedly led the running backs all season in total production. I know Odell has been phenomenal since in the last 8 or 9 weeks, but he doesn't lead in receptions, he doesn't lead in touchdowns, he doesn't lead in yards. And listen, even if the Giants win out and finish 12-4, which there's a very good chance, he's still not going to be the leader in any of those categories. Does he make the game-changing plays? Absolutely. But if we are going on historically how this award is voted on, then there is no
receiver
chance.
Has ever won.
What?
No receiver has ever won. No receiver has ever won the MVP.
So there you go.
But the thing is, this is a different year from past. In the years past, we've had a clear-cut 1-2 guy with his Aaron Rodgers.
The clear-cut this year is, unless the Packers win out, it's Matt Ryan. Because they're probably going to finish with, what is their record right now, 9-5? Or
9-5.
They're probably going to finish with more than 10 wins. He's putting up the best numbers of any quarterback, sans Drew Brees, but his team's not making the playoffs. And he's doing it, he's done it without Julio for the last two games, and Julio wasn't even involved in 3 or 4 games. He's spreading the ball out. To me, it's Matt Ryan, unless the Packers win out. You can go.
They're 9-5. They could easily finish 10-6. Or, sure. You know, they could. I wouldn't even put it past them to lose their final two games if you look at who they're playing. The thing, I just don't think there's a clear-cut favorite. I do agree if Aaron Rodgers.
Listen, this is a wonky year. There is no clear-cut
favorite. It seems like every week there's a different person that everyone wants to put in there.
I'll give you that.
And then if we can't decide on everything, it's like, okay, we'll just give it to Tom Brady. It seems like that's what. But I think that, you know, In this year, if there's any year where we could actually give the award based on what it's defined, this should be the year. I know Matt Ryan has had a great year. I know. But we have an Offensive Player of the Year award. When we talk about most valuable player, how are you going to give it to a guy, a quarterback, who is the most important position and he's playing at a high level? But his team could finish 10-6 and be a wild card team.
Listen, but that's the thing about the award. You know, any of these writers can define most valuable a trillion different ways. Could you go in there as an NFL writer and say Odell Beckham is my most valuable player because without them the Giants don't win half these games? Absolutely. But someone else could define it another way, and someone else could define it another way, which is why it's always based on stats and record. And if you could make the same argument, if you took Matt Ryan away from the Falcons, they probably finished bottom of the division.
Well that's because he plays the most important position in the league.
Okay.
On that team.
Okay, but that's why. You know,
terms of more valuable to their team, I mean, if you look at it, games won this year. The Falcons won some games because of Matt Ryan, but they had a good running game and he's made some plays. Look, I can't sit here and say Matt Ryan, you know, the Falcons are still a playoff team without Matt Ryan. But again, I go back to the word valuable, the value of the player. If you want to give it to a quarterback every single year, then let's just stop saying most valuable player and just say the best quarterback of the year goes to whoever you want to give it to.
Sure. I mean, listen, I just think, I'm going based on how the award has been given out forever, and running backs have won the award. So it's not just quarterbacks.
And look, if I were to give the award to somebody right now, right? I absolutely hate every year that we give it to the guy who's been the better quarterback every year. I hate that. I think J.J. Watt was robbed that year that Aaron Rodgers won the MVP. And I'm not taking anything away from Aaron Rodgers, but J.J. Watt was the MVP. If I'm giving it to anybody this year, right? If the Packers went out, I'm giving it to Aaron Rodgers on a silver platter, easily. If they don't, then, I mean, look, Ezekiel Elliott has been on a tear. And don't talk to me about the offensive line. I know the offensive line is great, but they're not 12-2 with Darren McFadden in the backfield.
Listen, you're not gonna have me disagreeing with that.
They could be 12-2 with Tony Romo at quarterback. I have Dak Prescott.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, you're not going to find me arguing Dak Prescott just, MVP. I mean, Dak is not in the conversation. That's total nonsense. We even spoke with EDP about how we thought that Carson Wentz was better than Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott absolutely is not in the conversation. A billion quarterbacks could put up the stats that he's putting up with that line, that running game, Dez Bryant, Jason Witten. Listen, he has been given one of the best situations a rookie quarterback could be given ever. No one's arguing Dak. For me, and I gave this argument
and
earlier,
another guy, and
you poo-pooed it, was the Carmelo Anthony argument, and I think it holds even more weight because the NBA is such a star-powered league. If you take him away...
Well, the thing is, Carmelo Anthony has the ball in his hands for the majority of the time. He's going to have the ball in his hands shooting the ball 30 times.
So do quarterbacks.
If Odell Beckham... But the argument was Odell Beckham and Carmelo Anthony. If you give the ball to Odell Beckham 30 times, he'll value his worth and show why he's more, you know, just as important as a star player on a basketball team.
Listen, you're not going to find me agreeing with...
And another guy, I don't think is deserving enough love is Le'Veon Bell. I would say David Johnson as well, but the Cardinals aren't winning. But Le'Veon Bell, I mean, he's the best back in the league.
I agree.
I just think you can't keep giving it every year to the guy who's the best quarterback. If you want to give it to the best quarterback every year, then just change the award up. But we got to mix it up, man. And if there's ever a year to mix it up and actually do it by the way the award is defined, then this is the year, because there's no clear-cut favorite, in my opinion.
Okay. All right. Let's get into questions. No. Let's talk Pro Bowl. Dwayne Harris, Janoris Jenkins, Landon Collins, and Odell Beckham Jr.
I'm really happy Janoris Jenkins made the Pro Bowl.
Me too.
If there's ever a guy, and Landon Collins as well, if there's ever a player that deserved to go to the Pro Bowl this year, it was Janoris Jenkins. Just look at how he's played through the 16 games, and you can see him lining up against best receivers every week. And I don't think there's a number one receiver he has given up more than 63 yards. I remember I read that somewhere. He hasn't given up more than 63 yards to a number one receiver, and he's faced a lot of good ones. AJ Green, Dez Bryant twice, Antonio Brown, who else on the Giants played? Jordy Nelson.
Yep.
The list goes on and on, but he has played phenomenal this year. Really happy that he finally made the Pro Bowl. Well deserving. He's embracing that New York spotlight, man. He's embracing. He's building a market for himself. Jackrabbit. You got to get yourself on one of those sweatshirts.
I'll be honest, they're pretty ugly. I love him. Ugly sweatshirt. Here's my thing with the Jackrabbit thing, with the Jackrabbit Pro Bowl vote. I am very happy that he made it. You brought up Landon Collins. I think I'm happier that Jackrabbit made it, and I'll tell you why. Because Landon Collins, I feel like the defensive player of the year narrative took hold very early on in the season because he was playing outstanding football. And I feel like the difference between the two is Landon Collins didn't have this sort of narrative stuck to him. He didn't have a great rookie season, but he came on strong, and there was really like no knock against him. He hadn't been in the league too long. With Janoris Jenkins, it was the guy's a risk taker, the guy's a pain in the ass, he's not disciplined. And I feel like for a majority of uninformed NFL fans, that stuck with them throughout this season, despite how untrue it was. The fact that he got in, and he's going to the Pro Bowl, although hopefully he'll be playing in the Super Bowl instead, mm-hmm. shows that the whole narrative surrounding him is sort of changing, and people are starting to realize how dominant of a cornerback he is. And to me, that makes me happy.
Yeah, of course. I think, you know, the Pro Bowl, it shouldn't be just a popularity contest.
Right.
You know, you got to look. I mean, there's guys that are deserving. We talked about it before the year. I thought Damon Harrison should be a Pro Bowler, absolutely. Hands down. I mean, not taking anything away from Fletcher Cox, but Harrison has had a much better season than Fletcher Cox. Take away sacks, which is not everything. Harrison has had a much better year. He's been a much more dominant player this year. I thought that was a snub, but with the Pro Bowl, it's kind of like I would like to see more of the players involved in the voting process, see more of the writers and the guys that cover the game have more say. And I think If you see more players involved in the process, you see more guys that write about the game involved in the process, I think you'll see a little bit more of the value of the Pro Bowl go up, because these players will start to value them being elected to the Pro Bowl, because it's by their peers, it's by other players. So, I would like to see more players involved in the process.
Dwayne Harris, what a wild card. I get it.
I think a lot of Cowboys voted for him because they're like, special teams player. Dwayne Harris is the only one I know.
Yeah, they're probably Lucky Whitehead. Yeah, fuck Lucky Whitehead. He's Dwayne Harris light.
Yeah.
You're not going to find me complaining.
No.
Bizarre.
He was a good special teams player. Bizarre. Not a good returner, but he was a good gunner. So.
Right. He's been a great gunner and great guy on punt coverage. Still. Bizarre to me.
Yeah.
All right. I guess that's really it. Listen, JPP probably should have made it, but he's injured. But with both with him and Vernon, it's to me, it's just like the production early on wasn't there, and there's maybe a few more flashy names at the position, and people shouldn't get like too worked up about it, honestly. There's no doubt that Vernon, JPP, and Snacks Harrison were at least in the conversation. Obviously all having tremendous years, but hey, listen, 4 is great, especially considering you brought up that, what was it, 6 teams didn't even have a single selection?
Yep.
So, listen, shows the Giants got playmakers. That's all in the Pro Bowl. Let's get into some questions. Go Chan, loyal listener. Chan, I got some pretty, pretty upsetting news for you. Weiss, I don't know if you remember, last week I gave Chan our first ever podcast award for most questions asked with 5. Chan, you got upset this week by Michael, who asked 10 questions. We're not going to answer all of them, but I just wanted to let you know that you got to step up your game, Chan. All right, first question. Can we set up a fantasy league next year? That is an amazing idea. We should have an NYG weekly. You and me and a bunch of fans sign up and do a fantasy league. Are you in?
I'm down.
All right, perfect. We'll set it up. In case I forget, someone remind me. 2, does Jackrabbit being out concern you against Philly? No, because their wide receivers are trash. Let DRC and Eli Apple play this game. I guess Trevin Wade will get some snaps to my chagrin. But the Philly, like I said, Philly doesn't worry me. Let Jackrabbit rest up for week 17 in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think if they win this week and the Cowboys win against the Lions, Giants clinch the 5 seed. They're playing for nothing week 17. I don't think Janoris Jenkins is going to play this week. I know he was limited in practice today, but if he doesn't play this week and the Giants win next week, they most likely will be playing for nothing.
Yeah.
So it'll be another week for him to sit out and get ready for the playoffs.
Ba-ba-bum. Well, that's a perfect transition for Nick. If the Giants beat the Eagles and clinch the playoffs, will the Giants take it easy and or rest guys for the Redskins game? I guess that depends on what the Cowboys do, yeah?
Yeah, I think they're going to rest some players. I don't think you're going to see...
There's still a scenario where if the Giants were to win this week and the Cowboys lose, the Giants can still take the division.
Then they're still playing for something. But
right.
If the Cowboys win,
saying...
If the Cowboys win, then the Giants aren't playing for nothing. They've locked the 5 seed. They can't go up. They can't go down. I wouldn't suspect to see a lot of the defensive players playing in that game. If the Detroit Lions win, then what you're going to end up seeing is you're going to end up seeing probably the Giants and the Giants Redskins game and the Cowboys Eagle game get flexed in that 4 o'clock hour.
Yep.
And that'll determine the number one seed. But the Giants are either going to be, well, most likely they can be the 1 seed, or they can be the 5 seed. I think for them to be 6, a lot of other things are going to have to happen.
Sure.
It's either the 1 or the 5 for the Giants.
This one's from Connor. Was JPP robbed of a Pro Bowl selection, and is that a good thing so he'll be motivated to come back sooner? No. I don't think so.
I think the motivation to come back will be playing for a different
bowl. I mean, listen, all the Pro Bowl is for these guys is a 2-week vacation to Hawaii. So with JPP.
In this case, it's in Orlando.
Right. Oh, it's in Orlando. So yeah. All it is a 2-week trip to Disney World, and honestly, JPP is capable of paying for that himself. So I don't think he's too upset.
I think JPP is trying to get back to playing the play hockey. That's where the motivation is.
Agree. Alex Kolodziej, which team is more of a threat, Redskins or Eagles? Not in terms of playoffs, but in terms of talent and matchups. Got to be the Redskins. I know they put up a stinker last night against Carolina at home, but they're also 1-16 in Monday night games since in like the last 30 years or whatever it is. Kirk Cousins is still better than Carson Wentz. They have a pretty good receiving core. They have a tight end that could expose the Giants, so they worry me more than the Eagles.
They really let me down yesterday, man. I spent weeks talking them up, their offense.
We did it when we did that episode with Dan. You listed the Eagles as your second favorite, I believe.
Yeah, did something, but they really let me down yesterday. Both defenses are abysmal, but you got to go with the offense, and I think the Redskins have a good offense, and I think they'll be there's a possibility they could be playing for something in that game, so they are a more threat than the Eagles for sure.
Do you think the NFL should change the playoff seeding by record and not by who wins the division?
You weren't saying that in 2011.
Enough said.
9-7 hosting a playoff game. Exactly. You shouldn't change it. You won the division, you host the playoff game.
Dwayne Harris question. I got to keep scrolling here down earlier. Hold on. I liked all these. So I can just. This is what I do every week. When people ask questions, I like them on Twitter so I can just click on my likes on my profile and then just scroll through it that way. So let me pull these up. Okay. Do you think the Giants will keep Cruz or sign draft another wide receiver? I'm of the opinion that Victor Cruz is well aware he's playing below his cap number, and I think that he's got eyes for only one team and that he will come back as a Giant under a much smaller salary.
I think the Giants will give Victor Cruz a chance to win a roster spot next season.
Okay.
I think on a reduced salary. It won't be on the same salary.
Sure.
He's going to have to take another pay cut. They're going to give him a chance. He means a lot to the organization, man. He's a local kid. They're not going to just...
Right, exactly. Release him.
They'll give him a chance to kind of have a full off season, be able to show that he can still contribute to a team, and they'll make their decision on that. But I think he'll have a chance to win a roster spot in 2017.
All right, like I brought up earlier, Michael asked us 10 questions. We're going to answer two of them. Is Ereck Flowers improving, or was this just a rare case where he had a pretty solid game? You never know. I mean, two steps forward, 10 steps back.
Here's the thing with Ereck Flowers. You want to see him take 2 steps forward without taking 10 steps back. Played well in the second half against the Cowboys. Played okay in the second half against the Cowboys. Wasn't a liability against the Lions. Did give up a sack. But with Ereck, man, you just want to see him not be a liability at this point.
Yep.
And as he continues to try to develop, man, just not take steps back.
Biggest potential threat in the playoffs. This one was interesting. To me, it's between. I'm gonna say to me, it's the Packers. To go on the road against the Packers. I know the Giants went to Lambeau in, what was it, 2007, 2008. Aaron Rodgers is on a fucking tear. They have a wide receiver playing running back who's playing lights out. They got Jordy Nelson. That offense, I know how good our defense has been. Their offense still scares the living shit out of me. So, to me, it's the Packers. I think I know you're going to say Seattle, but I'll let you answer for yourself.
I'll say Seattle. Just because their defense is very, very scary. They have the tools that can really, really make the Giants' offense look really, really bad. And another team that I will say is I've seen the Giants go up against Green Bay. Saw that. They held them 23 points. I saw them go up against Dallas. But a team I haven't seen them go up against this season is Atlanta. So having to go on the road to Atlanta with the MVP – to some people, Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, they got a good running game. Good receiving core as well. That could be a tough test for the Giants as well, because we have never seen them against that kind of an offense. So that's another team that could scare me. But to be honest with you, man, nobody really scares me.
Fair enough.
I can see us winning anywhere against any team.
All right, let's do one more question. Let's do Max Castelli. Do you think that the Giants' offense is finally giving Perkins a longer leash? Yes, but yeah, it is a smaller leash. I mean, you're seeing his snap count go up and up every week a little bit. I just wish that would translate to more carries than Rashad Jennings, and then I will be somewhat satisfied.
I think, yeah, that's where we're headed. I mean, I say it every week, but I think, look, man, he averaged 5 yards per carry versus Jennings is what, 2.8?
It was like a shade over 2, I believe. It was like 2.2.
Yeah, I think we're headed toward Perkins getting more carries, more snaps, have a larger role in the offense. But as far as the lead back, I don't think so. I think he'll get more carries, the bulk of the carries, but I still think we're going to see Rashad Jennings as well. And Bobby Rainey, now that Verena's on IR.
True. All right, that's it. That's it for this week. Hope you enjoyed. Hope you enjoyed the EDP.
Giants win this week, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's not even a question.
What's the score?
Ooh. 24-13.
I'm going to say they finally scored 30 points. 30-20.
That's bold.
30-20 Giants.
There's no way the Eagles are putting up 20 on this defense, even without Jack Rabbit. I'm sorry.
Well, I think they'll have a lead, but late in the fourth quarter, you'll see some garbage points I think we're gonna see a motivated Victor Cruz.
Me too.
Victor Cruz. I think this man really wants to get his revenge on Philadelphia for what happened to him. He doesn't want his lasting memory to be him and that injury in Philadelphia. He wants to win in that stadium. He wants to score. He wants to dance. And I think he's going to do it.
Absolutely. All right. That's it for us this week. Follow us on Twitter at EthanGSN, at NYGDaily, at GothamSN. Subscribe on iTunes and Audio Boom. Go Giants. And we'll speak to you boys next week. Peace.